desire and interest in your prayers. I haven't felt my best today, but I want to be able to deliver the thought. I'd like to write something on the board here. I'm sure most of us have seen a license plate or a bumper sticker somewhere that said, everybody has to believe in something, and usually below that it says, I believe I'll go fishing, or something of that nature. Well, I've been thinking about that, and not just the license plate, it came to me later on, but the burden I have to try to address here tonight is something that I trust the Lord will help us be able to convey it and articulate it. I'm not going to say that I have all the perfect words here, but I ask that you would pray for us. I was thinking about believing, and believing is something that elevates ideas to the plane of objectives and goals. If you don't believe in anything, then it will never become an objective or a goal. If it's a ho-hum idea, if it's something, a passing thought or something of that nature, it'll never be something that really motivates you to go outside your boundaries of your comfort zone. And I think of the many modern inventions and marvels that we have in our world today. And in this morning's service, there was a lot of questions asked about things of how they used to happen 10, 20, 50 years ago. And many of us here are unacquainted with what it's like to raise our own food and butcher our own chickens and walk to work and to meeting and all of those things. That's foreign to us. And these are all a result of because we have all the appliances and all of the machinery that we have today. And many, many, many of those are because someone had an idea and they believed that they could make it come to pass. And then they went beyond just thinking that it was a good idea, and they spent many, many hours in trial and error and in research and investigation. And you think of the beginnings of things like the telephone, and when you begin to research the men that developed that technology in the very beginning, you find that they may have worked on something and failed hundreds, maybe thousands of times, worked through the night and through the days and without rest and without eating. And then finally, they didn't fail one time. And they were successful. And this, they believed that they could do it. They believed it was possible. Think of the little story that we probably all read and heard read to us as a child about the little engine that thought it could. It wasn't because it was the biggest and most capable looking. It was because it believed. That's the idea that was presented there. We may benefit from what someone else believes. I benefit today from many of those modern conveniences because somebody else believed in an idea and a principle. But I haven't really developed any of those, but I'm a beneficiary of that. And many of us here today are beneficiaries of the things that those in the past believed. They really believed it. They searched it out. They studied it out. they became convinced, and it became an objective and a goal and a destination point in their life. And their believing has impacted me today. There's been some benefits that's been passed on to me. I was thinking of the song that was sang earlier. I'm not the one that asked that they sing it. But it was talking about the wonder of wonders. And I want to tell you, if you listen to the words of that song, you realize you're going to have to do a lot of believing. There's a lot of incredible things that's touched on in that song. And the only way that you're going to be able to rationalize it, because I wasn't there and you weren't there, is you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to accept. You're going to have to believe. And you know, if you can believe in the words of that song, it's going to empower you. It's going to be something that's going to be a stepping stone and a springing point in your life and your walk with the Lord. We know that what we believe is going to be challenged by our surroundings. You believe that you can do something and somebody else will probably be sure to tell you that they don't think you can. And some of us have been in positions where you maybe have made a statement or you begin to do something and someone says, oh no, it don't work that way. And some of us have said, well, hide and watch because I believe I can do it. And when you believe, what I'm trying to get the point across is believing is an incredible motivating power and force. But without belief, the very opposite is true. So much deterioration happened. So much is lost. If you don't believe in something, then anything that's associated with that, incrementally or maybe in bucketfuls, it starts getting thrown out the window. If you really don't believe it. But if you do believe it, you're going to carefully take care of it. You're going to nurture the thing. And it can be in any facet, in any part of our lives. I'd like to turn to Mark, the first chapter, and notice something that Jesus said while he was here on the earth. In Mark chapter 1, I'm just going to read one verse here. It says in the 15th verse, maybe starting the 14th. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, the believing here is going to enable you to be saved and be redeemed. And if you cannot come to the place that you believe that the blood of Christ that was shed so many years ago, if you cannot believe that there is power in that blood that was shed then to save your soul from condemnation and the final judgment, then you won't get saved. You won't be redeemed. But the power of believing what Jesus said right here is going to enable you to have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. More than a profession, more than a membership, but a real relationship with God. And if we turn to Mark, the 5th chapter, we notice something else that Jesus said. Matthew 5, and beginning in verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And if you can believe, there's going to be something miraculous happen. And if the ruler of the synagogue had said, there is no way I can believe. They're dead. And if you follow this story on, the crowd that was gathered at the place of the young girl that had passed laughed at Jesus. It says they laughed him to scorn. But you know, Jesus believed that something else was going to happen, and it didn't stop him. And you're going to face, in our world, people that's going to endeavor to laugh you to scorn for what you believe. And you're going to have to know how to stand in those times, but your belief is going to have to be anchored to the point that you can withstand. If you don't really believe and somebody comes along and tells you that this is not going to work, that it's foolish, that it's just an experiment at best, and if you don't really believe it, you'll throw it out the window. There's a lot of things that I don't believe in. There's a lot of things that I don't have any faith in. And some of those things, I'm not talking about spiritual things here. Some of those things you folks believe in. Some of those things, I don't believe in putting magnets on my fuel lines. And I don't believe in putting little whirly birds in the air cleaner to get better fuel economy. And I don't believe that you can put nitrogen in your tires and get better fuel economy either. So just for the record, if you believe that, I'm going to leave it between you and your automobile. But I don't. But there are people that believe those kind of things, and they try to encourage other people to believe that kind of stuff. And since I don't believe, I'm going to be one of those that tell you, no, don't waste your money on that. And I'll do what I can to discourage you from going down that path. But on the lines of believing in Christ, there's going to be many, many people that's going to say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's not necessary. That's not, you don't have to do that. Let's be real here. Let's look at the facts. All right? I'd like to turn to Genesis, the first chapter. Begin reading about the 14th verse, Genesis chapter 1. It says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the fourth day. Now light appeared earlier than this, it seems like. But here God set up what we know as the stars and the moon and the sun and all those things. So I have to ask you, do you believe that? Amen. I do. And there's other people that's believed it too. I'd like to turn to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Isaiah believed it. It says, thus saith the Lord, the first verse, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to the him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Now, what I'm trying to do here is set up a thought to where you can grasp that we're not the first generation that has been looked on as just superstitious for believing. We're not the first ones. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. And this is where Stephen was questioned and he answered. And he got stoned. In Acts chapter 7, and beginning in verse 48, it says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet." He's talking about Isaiah. "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things?" These are Stephen's words that Luke recorded. And I believe that Stephen and Luke both believe that God put the stars in the sky, and he put the moon where it belongs, and he put the sun where it belongs, and he give that thing a spin, if you want to think of it that way, and it's still going. Yes. And there's no linkages, levers, modules, or stepper motors, or anything that's running this dude. That's right. But it's in motion. Yes. And I believe God done it. Yes. But Stephen, because he articulated what he believed, they ended up stoning him. You're going to find that we live in a world that don't like what I believe. And I hope you believe it. In Paul's time, he addressed society as being suspicious or superstitious. Let's go to Acts, the 17th chapter. And notice what it says here. Acts 17, verse 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him. Worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Now, Paul was another man. We got another one on the roster of believing that God made it all. And he put it all in order. Okay? And I guess I'm fairly confident that Paul, whether he was the most educated, he was probably, for his time, he had more education than probably Isaiah or those in the past. But irregardless of all of that, he was not a foolish person. He was very intelligent. He looked at things rationally. He was able to process thoughts and ideas and come to conclusions and resolutions and all of those kinds of things. And today, if we believe that God is the origin of the human species, and we believe that he is the creator of the universe, it's perceived as ignorance and superstition. In Paul's day, there was a lot of education going on, and there was but yet the level of education and all was such that they ascribed many things they couldn't explain to gods. And they had lots of gods. And they even had a worship facility or an altar to an unknown god. Just, I think, in case there was another one. And our society today looks on that as very foolish. They have lots more learning and understanding. And I believe our education and our knowledge of the universe, our knowledge of creatures and all of it, I think it has accelerated. It's phenomenal what mankind can do today. So I'm thinking of where you and I are and what we have to contend with. Over in John, we find that Jesus prayed with his followers before leaving this old world. He said here, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And your belief in God, in an almighty God, is not of the world. And it's going to be under attack. And it's going to come under scrutiny. And I don't believe that Paul, and I don't believe that Luke, and I don't believe that Stephen, and I don't believe that Isaiah, or any of those, I don't believe that I myself are ignoramuses. I believe that I'm a fairly analytical person and that I can take complicated issues and resolve them in my line of work. And I'm sure if we go around through the crowd today that we would find people, all of you here. I'm not talking to a crowd of people that can't read and write. That's something that's changed along with walking and cooking on a wood stove and all of that. There were many of our forefathers that could put an X. They didn't know their letters and they done all of their math in their head and all of those kind of things. But our education is more. We have so much more knowledge and access to knowledge. And you, many of you here have access right now. You can Google it and search it and look up word definitions. And you can access the internet right here during service. I'd be real thankful if you didn't. I'd be glad if you'd just turn it off and listen for a little while. But I'm susceptible to this kind of pressure, just like the young people that's in high school and the young people that are going to college and those of you that may have went on to graduate school or whatever. I'm convinced that there are many people here that have extremely high IQs. You are very capable people. And the reason I know that is because over in Proverbs, the first chapter, I'd like to turn there for just a minute. It says here in the 7th verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. I believe there's a lot of people here that fear the Lord. And when you fear the Lord allows your mind to be keener and sharper. Every one of you have a secret weapon in your occupation where other people are going to alleviate their frustrations with some kind of substance abuse or activity or something like that. And when you go home and say, Lord, I don't know how to address this issue on my job, but I know you know how. And I believe that you can help me in this spot. And when you go back and find the solution, other people's mouths just gape open. How'd you do that? May the Lord help us to say, the Lord help me. Yes. You know what Daniel said? When he went in to the king and said, oh king, give us a little time. I believe the God whom I serve will tell us what your dream was and what the interpretation was. And when he went back the next day, and he was able to not only reveal the dream, but expound what the meaning was, he made it very clear, this is not because I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. He said, it's because there's a God in heaven and he's the one that revealed this secret to me. So I inherently, because of your fear of God, your ability to grasp new concepts and your ability to gather information and process that, I feel like I'm speaking to a group of people here that's above, way above national average in their mental capabilities. And my education level doesn't come close to a lot of you. And I thank you for at least paying attention tonight. My statements about trying to emphasize belief. You may be sitting there and say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've been to X number of years in college, and I got a degree and things. You know, you got to realize that it couldn't have just happened in 7 days, and there's some stuff out there that really are dictating what's happening out there in the universe." So maybe you think that I am an ignoramus. I don't know. But I don't believe I am. I don't believe I am. You know, in the end, we'll find out. We'll know. And you will. I was looking up some other information here a while back, and I was looking in a Microsoft Encarta encyclopedia. I found a statement that kind of stood out to me. It says, because contemporary scholars tend to regard the biblical descriptions as imaginary, controversy has revolved around the question of the geographical location of Eden. And that's what you're smacked right in the face with when you go into our education systems all around the country. And not just here, you can go across the pond either direction and you're going to find it there too. You're going to find out that education systems is going to attack your ability to just believe. But my burden here tonight is to help us all realize that you're going to have to believe something. You know, we've got plenty of people here that could testify of the goodness of God and the miraculous intervention of God in your life. Now, you probably don't have the information categorized and encrypted to where it would be approved on a science fair exhibit. But nobody can question it because you know what happened. You know what used to be in your nature. And it's not there anymore. You used to be the wolf or the lion or something of that nature. And it's not there. The Lord done a work in your heart. And you know the affliction that you had and the pain you suffered and all of those things. And you know that God done it. And no, you didn't have an MRI or a CAT scan. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you do. But the proof, we already heard, is in the pudding. See? You know it's different now. You know the Lord taught. You know He worked. You know He manifested His power and He opened doors or closed a door or gave you direction or revealed His will to you in some manner. There's no question. I got those too. And if somebody comes along and says, how'd you get to where you're at in this world? Why do you live here? How'd you find that woman that you're married to? You know, all of these things, I believe that we can say, the Lord done it. Amen. He's the one. I believe that, see. But our society out there is, they're documenting, you know. They got watches, they got calendars, they got pressure measures and temperature. They're measuring the temperature and they're measuring humidity and everything. All kinds of things. They're gathering all this information and then they're plotting all this stuff on graphs and using programs to project it out there in the future somewheres. And, well, if you don't do something quick, something bad's going to happen. And they've got scientific evidence. They can give you your odds of whether you're going to have some kind of problem from taking this medication or that medication. And they can tell you, you can do some kind of personality quiz and they can tell you what kind of occupation you ought to pursue and they can do some kind of, I don't know how invasive it is, but they can do some kind of muscle tissue analysis and tell you what kind of sport you would be good at. Well, they got lots of information out there. And if we're not careful, it'll undermine our ability to believe. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to believe in something. You're going to have to believe in something. And we could accumulate all of the data and information of the blessing and the leading and the direction of the Lord of everybody that you know, and we could amass a tremendous amount. That'd be a good project for some of you that are bored. If you got time on your hands, start making contacts and accumulating data of the healings that the Lord has done, and the direction and the deliverance and the open doors and all of that. And I think that you could impress anybody. But we haven't done that. We've believed. The song says, simply believe. We just believe. Maybe the time has come that we need to have a more scientific approach and accumulating information. I don't know. But we're going to have to reinforce our belief system, or it's going to get all thrown over the fence. But even if you think all I'm saying about believing God and believing that He put the universe in order and all of those things, even if you don't believe any of that tonight, or maybe you're in a position that you just really have trouble believing. It's a big question. It's a stretch for me to believe that. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to believe something. Yeah. You know, we've got this thing called gravity. And they've been studying that and analyzing that for a long time. And they're really not real sure what makes it tick yet. Maybe they will someday. Maybe they'll get it to where you can buy a can of it and take it with you. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. There's things out there in what we would term outer space in our universe. There's things they call dark energy and dark matter. And I don't know. I hadn't been studying it. But I'll read you what I found about a little bit. I'm not going to read a lot. Dark energy, one thing I found is more is unknown than is known. We know how much dark energy there is because we know how it affects the universe expansion. And I don't know what they're using to measure it. And some of you could probably explain it. It's something about light slowing down or... I don't know. They're doing something to measure, and they're saying our universe is getting bigger. One galaxy is moving further away from the other, and they're saying that dark energy is causing that. It says, other thing, the little statement, this is all in one little web page. Other than that, it's a complete mystery. Well, you're going to have to believe. You see what I'm saying? You can get all the data and information you want about gravity and how it impacts and how it holds Mars and Earth and Venus and Jupiter and Pluto or whatever that little one is out there, all in sequence and how it orbits and all. You can get all the information you want, and when it comes right down to it, there's going to come a place you're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to believe the discoveries prove, I don't know what it proves, because they don't have a final answer yet. You're just going to have to believe. Trust whoever. And wait a few weeks or maybe a year or two, and you're going to find out that there's been some more information added, and there's been incredible information added in the educational system since I was in public school. My children have come home and they've got names for things that's in the of pieces of an atom that I'm pretty sure that wasn't in the textbook when I was in school. And I don't know if they've got a lens that they can see these little critters with or what. But somehow they've proved to themselves they're in there. But when it comes all down to it, I'm telling you, you're going to have to believe in something. It's just going to come to the place that I can't just say, well, it's all the proof is there. It's all laid out. You're going to have to believe in it. And then there's these things called, well, this dark matter. Let's talk about that. I found a statement about dark matter. It says, we are much more certain what dark matter is not than what we are what it is. This is not a humorous site. This was a scientific place. And I'm trying to emphasize, if you're going to go down this path, and you're going to say all this thing about God creating the world and the universe and putting things in place and setting the moon and the stars to give us an idea of what year it is and what month it is and what time of day it is and all of those things, if you're going to throw that over the fence and say, I can't believe any of that, but I'm going to believe what science can prove. I mean, it's facts. They've proved a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of information, but there's going to come right down to the point that you can't fully get your hands around it, and you're just going to flat have to believe. You're going to have to decide what you believe, see? There's these little things called chromosomes. Humans has got 23 pair of them. Horses has got 32 pair, and donkeys has got 31, and that's all I looked up. And I know that a mule has 31 and a half. It's only got 63 chromosomes. And I know that because something is altered there, and it was out of God's plan, mules don't have mules. That's an old illustration. And you know, somewhere along the line of all of the information about that science is trying to convince me that creatures have changed from one creature to the next down through a long period of time, somewhere along in there, as far as I've found, they don't have any evidence of real chromosome changes. You're going to have to believe it happened. I'm not sure what happened. You're going to have to exercise some belief. So, my punchline here tonight is, look at the end result of believing that God put things in order. Look at the end result of that. I like to see the little children came up here this morning. You know, every one of them can have a solid, stable home environment when their parents believe that God put everything in order.
Yes. Amen.
But you know what happens when you say, "Well, I'm a little sharper than that. I can't accept all of this believing that God done it all. I believe there was a bang somewheres. And I believe there's no way he could have done it in 7 days. And I believe that, see, you're going to have to believe it. I believe that it's where we are today has been a process of progress of whatever. Usually when you lead things to their own, it goes down instead of progressing. But if you look at the end result of accepting that mindset and believing those things, because you're going to come to the place that you're going to run out of proof. You're going to run out of evidence, and you're going to run out of data, and you're going to have to say, I guess I just believe it. You're going to get to there. But when you look at the end result of that, we see the problems in our society today. We see the pain and the anguish and the brokenness. And nothing is really moral or immoral. Because you don't have anything to answer to. You're just putting more data in the bank you're part of another experiment. And we can look around in our world today, and it's been said in this meeting, I believe that everybody needs a good dose of salvation and believing in God. But that has not happened in my generation, it's went the other way. There's been many, many more people that's been convinced. There's so much evidence here, I'm just going to have to believe this other thing. So when you begin believing that, and you start throwing out all of the things that believing in God establishes in your life, the parameters and the security and all of those things that believing in God establishes in your mind and your hearts and in your everyday lives, when you start believing something else, you're going to realize, why am I doing this? I don't have nothing. I don't believe that. So even if you hold to it, the next generation won't. Had some lengthy discussions with an individual some time back, and they were trying to rationalize being a Christian and also accepting the evidence that evolution was occurring. And so I let this individual talk quite a bit. And I thought, Lord, he's obviously been doing a lot more research than I have. And he's found stories of whales with legs and I don't know what all. I mean, pictures of these things. And I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. And we had several conversations, had lunch together and all of this. And finally I said, you know, I want to tell you something. If you're going to go down that path, sooner or later, you're going to have to throw Christ out. You're going to have to get to the place that when you, everything that you want to believe in salvation and having a relationship with God, but you want to hold on to, somewhere along the line, your belief and acceptance of this is going to cause you to have to throw Jesus out. It's going to be a bag of trash to you. It's not going to hold water down the road. It may take you a while. May take a generation or so. It's taken a while in our society today to see the real impact. The real thinkers have accepted the mindset of science a long time ago. And I'm thankful, I want you to know, I'm very thankful for every discovery, every modern convenience. We have materials today to build things out of that wouldn't have happened without people following through with ideas and believing that they could create, not really create, but manufacture and modify things. We have unbelievable resources today. I don't want to tell you that I believe the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. I said earlier, I believe I'm speaking to a group of people that are highly intelligent and capable. And because you are, and because you're thinking, and you're trying to grasp, and you're trying to be analytical about this and realize that, you know, I can't argue with these facts and this fact, I'm going to tell you there is something undermining your belief. You know, in this part of the country, you can go north here just a little bit, and they've done a lot of mining turn of the century. I've been told that you can go underground somewhere around Webb City and you can go to Galena, Kansas underground if you know the path. And down through the years, there's been sinkholes developed because somebody, they was mining too close to the surface or the rock structure collapsed. And just in the last year or so, there was an old building, probably 100 years old in Galena, that just all of a sudden, the back end of the building fell in a hole that wasn't there before. And that's the way your belief in God is going to be. You're going to have, as Jesus prayed, Lord, keep them from this world. You are going to have to anchor your belief. You're going to have to realize that irregardless of how much proof and evidence and all of that that's out there, you are going to have to realize that at some point you're just going to have to believe some of that. And realize that it's the end result of believing that God put it all in order, the end result of believing that God can speak to you and I individually and that He is a Spirit and that we can worship Him in spirit and truth, and His Spirit will bear witness that with our spirit that we are His adopted child. And when we, if we don't anchor ourselves in those concepts and approach this other, realizing that it's not foolproof. They don't have the last answer. They got a lot of answers. They just don't have the last answer. You're going to have to believe it. So my question to us tonight, what do you want in your life? You know, you can say, well, you know, all this deal about God creating stuff, that's fine for you, but I just can't quite wrap my mind around it. There's too much of this other out there. And maybe you can entertain that and maintain a level of integrity with the Lord for a while. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to undermine your belief system. I'm telling you that as time goes on, if it don't crop up in your life, it's going to crop up in the next generation or the next generation. And the whole idea of being saved, what is that? It's based on God. Well, God, you know, I'll read that statement again that I found in the Zycopedia. Because contemporary scholars tend to regard biblical descriptions as imaginary. You know, that's what we're facing today. And that's what we're going to have to contend with. And I believe that we can rise above it. I believe our belief can be strong. It can be anchored. But you're going to have to be forewarned and forearmed. I desire your prayers that my... You know, I've had to struggle with this. Because I contend with complicated things. And somebody says, well, why don't you just replace this? Why? I mean, I got to know, why am I putting something on this vehicle? Or why am I taking this apart? Or what's going on here? I need to know what's happening. So I go through this process in my mind and the methods I use to address something. So next thing, somebody comes along and says, look, here's a proof. Here's what they found. They dug this up wherever. It was found frozen in the tundra, or it was in a tar pit or whatever. Here's the missing link. The proof. But somewhere along the line, you're going to have to exercise some belief. And my question for you tonight is, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to believe that God put it all in order? You pray for me.